This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Well, just what the Loveland Police Department needs. This as more disturbing evidence comes out relative to that takedown of an elderly woman who was suffering from dementia. Now, cue the predictable systemic anti-police crowd, which will quickly demonize the entire department for the alleged acts of a few. 708 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gale from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Working from a rather extensive piece, and I have to forewarn you, some of the details coming out of this based on video footage are somewhat disturbing, but this is a piece by Sadie Swanson out of the Coloradoan. Now, as we've talked about, the Loveland Police Department has said that it wasn't aware of complaints regarding the arrest of 73-year-old Karen Garner, who has dementia. But new video shows officers watching the body cam footage, joking about their use of force and noting that the case would undoubtedly trigger internal review. Video released Monday by Garner's attorney shows Officer Austin Hopp knew the case would be reviewed by something known as the Blue Team. This is the department's system of keeping track of certain reports, including uses of force and threats of force during arrests. But in a previous statement, Loveland police said they were not previously aware of any complaints regarding Garner's arrest until the lawsuit was filed April 14th. Loveland police previously told the Coloradoan that internal reviews aren't initiated unless a complaint is filed against an officer by either a resident or another employee. All right. Well, there's some truth to that narrative, though some might want to paint it otherwise because the complaint had not yet been filed. Now, in the video, Hopp said he did report their use of force to the Blue Team, but it's unclear at this stage in the game as to whether the officer's use of force was ever reviewed. You had Loveland Police Chief Bob Tyser saying at a Loveland City Council meeting just last week, every officer involved in using force during an incident is required to report it through the Blue Team. Well, you had Officer Hopp saying that he indeed did just that. Tyser told council members that is required, that they enter that in through the Blue Team system, and then it goes through the review process to see if we were within policy or not. Complaints are also filed into the Blue Team to be reviewed, this according to Loveland Police Chief Mr. Tyser. Enter Sarah Shelke, who is representing Garner and her family in this federal civil rights lawsuit alleging excessive force. Well, she shared edited footage from the police department security camera with media Monday morning. I would like to see that footage in its entirety, wouldn't you? The sound in the videos has been enhanced to better understand what the officers are saying, this according to Shilke. She said in a news release that Loveland police's claim that they had not received a complaint about this arrest is, quote, an attempt to shift the burden of accountability onto others instead of within the department, adding, this is not just some isolated incident. It is not just one single problem. Well, As a result of representing Gardner and her family in this federal civil rights lawsuit, that's exactly what she's going to tell the media. She went on to say, this is utterly disgusting. This in a news release, along with the video that was just released yesterday. Loveland knew. She said they've known all along. They failed Karen Gardner. They failed the community. And they did it all on camera. Again, I would like to compare the edited footage to the raw footage of this video that was just released. But it's a 14-minute video, again, with enhanced audio of Loveland police officers talking about Karen Gardner's arrest. And yes, if indeed it was not edited for content, it is very disturbing. The footage released on Monday showed the officers laughing and making comments about Gardner's injuries immediately after the arrest. It's security footage, apparently, that was taken at the Loveland police station. It shows officers Hop and Daria Jalali watching Hop's body camera footage of the two arresting Gardner, who by that point is handcuffed in a holding cell nearby. Ready for the pop? Hop said to Jalali and another officer identified by attorney Sarah Shelkey as Officer Tyler Blackett in the video. Hear the pop? Hop asked in that video. What did you pop? Blackett asked. I think it was her shoulder, Hop said. Now, a few minutes later, Jalali appears to cover her eyes while Hop and Blackett continue watching the body camera video. I hate this, Jalali said. Hop reportedly says, while laughing, all of this captured on Loveland PD security camera footage, this is awesome. I love it, Blackett says. In the footage, Hop is also heard telling Jalali that he thought the arrest went great. After the two fist bump each other, I think we crushed it, Hop tells Jalali as they both appear to be filling out paperwork. Again, Hop asks Jalali, did you hear the pop when I had her pushed against the car when you first got there? I was like, okay, you're going to play. And I was pushing, and I hear, and this is parenthetical, the pop sound. I was like, oh no. Jalali responded, that's going to turn into something. Hop says at another point in the video, I can't believe I threw a 73-year-old woman on the ground. Shelkey, the attorney, said in a statement that she felt she had to release this video to shed light on, and here we go, with an overarching narrative, but consider the source. Loveland Police's toxic culture of arrogance and entitlement, along with their horrific abuse of the vulnerable and the powerless. Why is it that we immediately leap to a systemic cultural issue within law enforcement instead of focusing on the acts of the few, because it fits that overarching narrative of demonizing law enforcement. Not making any excuses, but again, I wasn't there. And sadly, it seems to me that perhaps even those involved in the arrest realize that perhaps they went a little bit too far. You had Hop saying at one point in that video, I can't believe I threw a 70-year-old woman on the ground. But to take that and turn it into oh, we have a systemic cultural problem within the Loveland PD because the actions, the alleged actions of a few, I think, is overreach in and of itself. Your thoughts this morning, 970-353-1310. Drop me a text on our 1310 KFKA text line. So, the lawsuit alleges that Hop Jalali and Sergeant Phil Metzler used excessive force when arresting Garner. On Sunday, Shilkey said an amended complaint was filed to add Blackett and Sergeant Antolina Hill as defendants, accusing them of failing to intervene or provide medical care to Garner. I know there's a lot here. There's a lot of information to consume here. There's a lot to digest. 8th Judicial District Attorney Gordon McLaughlin launched a CERT investigation on April 19th of Fort Collins Police Services, leading that investigation to determine if any laws were violated. After the CERT investigation, TICER said they will work with a third-party investigator to conduct an internal affairs investigation to determine if any officers involved violated department policy. Hop, Jalali, Metzler are now on paid administrative leave while the 8th Judicial Critical Incident Response Team, that is the aforementioned CERT, conducts a criminal investigation into the incident. Apparently, allegedly, Garner was left without medical care for nearly 6 hours, first in a holding cell at the police department and then at the jail. This is before jail deputies realized she was injured, according to the lawsuit. Officers reportedly did not tell anyone at the jail that Garner might be injured. Meanwhile, in Tyser's presentation to city council last week, he said that 91 out of the 3,162 arrests Loveland police made in 2020, or 2.9%, involved the use of force. Again, not condoning if indeed these allegations are factual, not condoning the actions of a few. But what concerns me is the rush to judgment, once again, demonizing law enforcement as a whole. How about you? 970-353-1310. Drop me a text on our 1310 KFKA text line. 720 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310KFKA.com. This time check sponsored by the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, bringing you an uplifting, inspiring musical adaptation of the much-beloved Little Women now through June 6th. For tickets and show information, visit ColoradoCandlelight.com. Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, Broadway in your backyard.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Colorado, come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right. You get a car. You get a car. Oh, wait. Wrong show. Sorry. My bad. 727 now. 1310 KFKA. 1310KFKA.com. Northern Colorado's Voice. Mornings with Gail via the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Yes, as reported in 9 News, The Price is Right live stage show is coming to Northern Colorado this autumn. Loveland's Budweiser Event Center will host the on-stage traveling version of the ever-so-popular TV game show on Tuesday, October 5th, 2021. Tickets for the show go on sale Friday, April 30th at 10 a.m. online at treventscomplex.com or in person at the box office inside the Bud. Group discounts will be offered online, in person, and by phone at 970-619-4112. So how does this all work? Well, The Price is Right Live is an interactive stage show, and it gives those who are eligible the chance to play classic games made famous by the iconic television show. That means, as a contestant, you could win cash, sought-after appliances, epic vacations, that's what it says, epic vacations, and of course, a brand new car by playing favorites like Plinko, Cliffhangers, The Big Wheel, and The Showcase. The live show, by the way, has given away over $12 million in cash and prizes over more than a decade. But yeah, The Price is Right live stage show is coming to Northern Colorado this autumn, hosted by the Budweiser Events Center. Again, it's the on-stage traveling version of the ever-so-popular TV game show on Tuesday, October 5th. All right, closing in on 7:30 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310KFKA.com. Market's kind of meh this morning, more or less flat, as investors wait for yet even more earnings news, and we'll find out where Colorado cities rank on a new survey of the best places to live when Keith Weinman, Presidential Wealth Management, weighs in just a few.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Market's pretty much at a dull roar this morning, just kind of rumbling around as investors are waiting for even more earnings news. Keith Weinman, Presidential Wealth Management, in now. Hey, Keith.
Very well said. So let's go to some individuals. Tesla down. After posting record sales, net income, and beating earnings and revenue estimates, Tesla stock is down 3%. It's 18% off its record high of this year, but it's still up over 360% in the last 12 months. UPS first quarter revenue soared 27%. Stock is up 8%. Google and Microsoft reports today after the close. Both the S&P and the NASDAQ closed at new record highs yesterday. And this morning, as Gail said, dull roar is well chosen. The Dow Industrial Average up 21 and three quarter points, 33,959. The S&P in record territory, albeit by 2 points, at 4,190. And the NASDAQ up 25 at 14,164. The Fed starts its two-day policy meeting today. A survey of CNBC predicts no changes by the Fed for the rest of this year. That's what Fed Chairman Jerome Powell is expected to say tomorrow. Tomorrow, Apple and Facebook report earnings after the close. Yield on the 10-year this morning, 1.58. West Texas Intermediate crude oil, $62.48 a barrel. And Bitcoin, $54,987 this morning. Tesla, Google, Microsoft, Apple, and Facebook are all included in our Sophos investment program of 35 stocks that long-term investors should consider owning. If you'd like that list and information about the program, that's all. Just call our Loveland office at 970-776-7500. Case-Shiller Home Price Index. Home prices nationwide in the United States up 11.9% year over year, the biggest gain in 15 years. And the Wall Street Journal and Realtor.com have ranked U.S. housing markets that are expected to provide a strong return on investment and at the same time are a nice place to live. The top five, Number one is Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Number two, Austin, Texas. Number three, Springfield, Ohio. Number four, Billings, Montana. And number five, Spokane, Washington. Colorado towns on the list of 300. Boulder at number 31. Colorado Springs at number 32. Grand Junction at number 60. Fort Collins at 96. Denver at 115. And Greeley at 153.
Fascinating when they put those together.
And what they do, once again, this is just not the most beautiful place judged on things like that.
There's a number of metrics.
There's two metrics in this survey.
Oh, in this one. Because I've seen surveys that have just a multitude of metrics, you know.
And this is not that. There are two things. Mm-hmm. Is a home in those places a good investment?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to give you a good return on your money? And secondarily, is it simply a nice place to live? Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, I always thought it was much more expensive than it is. There's in that story, they're talking about single-family homes in the fours.
Yeah. So explain Boulder, because pretty pricey real estate there. Very proud of their real estate in Boulder.
Same thing with Coeur d'Alene. But keep in mind what
You said there's homes available in the fours.
True.
I think Boulder is, I'm not sure what the median price is, but it's...
It may have gone beyond that.
It's pricey.
Yeah. But it's not what the price is now. Is this survey is looking at what the price is going to be in the future.
So how they appreciate.
They're going to keep going up.
There you go. Well, we're seeing that in Greeley for sure.
Exactly.
Fort Collins, lovely.
Exactly.
Yeah. All righty. Well, let's say some of the snowflakes on Saturday Night Live are confused and annoyed.
I saw that.
Confused and rather annoyed that they would even consider having Elon Musk host the show. Apparently, you had some of the cast members firing back tweets because apparently on Saturday, Musk had tweeted, let's find out just how live Saturday Night Live really is. You had one of the cast members, Bowen Yang, first responding with an emoji, a frowny face, and then he posted Musk's tweet with the following message, which has been a bit edited. What the blank does that even mean? But you had a third cast member talking about wealth inequality. I'm like, wait a minute, wait, what? Oh, yes, I understand where we're going with this now. Because Elon Musk is rather wealthy, but you had A.D. Bryant jumping on the income inequality bandwagon, saying that to have him on the show would be a moral obscenity.
Give me a break.
I know, right? Grow up. I mean, for some of us, that would be the thing that would make us try and stay awake to watch Saturday Night Live again.
It will me. Yeah, I'll be there. And you're exactly right. I have to stay awake to watch it. We're going to have to get some coffee brewing.
Right. But do you think the cancel culture will be successful in their bid to give Elon Musk, as host of Saturday Night Live, the boot? Or if they're smart,
no way.
Understanding this is generating a little bit of buzz.
That's
leave it alone.
That's the target right there. Let him do this because remember a mentor of mine in radio and television, a wonderful man, rest in peace, Jim Hawthorne, said, "Say whatever you want about me, just spell my name right."
Right,
and that's what they're doing. They're creating a buzz.
Mm-hmm.
How much you want to? Somebody will put the ratings out for Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll bet they'll be higher than they've been in years. And it's because of this.
Well, you know, Musk, pretty unpredictable.
Oh, yeah.
And that could make it a heck of a lot of fun because you never know what's going to come out of the man's mouth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall? Just think about in the writer's room. Think about the ideas that are being shot down.
I know. Yeah, exactly. No, we can't do that. Can't go there.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, they'll have to reprise. Rocket, I'm riding a rocket. Yeah, I mean, this is just such rich comedic territory. If only they can get out of their own politically correct way and make hay with it. Have some fun with it.
You know, maybe they're already out of their own politically correct way, and they're just doing their creating a buzz.
Mm-hmm. Nothing like a little buzz, right?
Week from this Saturday, correct? Mm-hmm. May 8th. May 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There you go. May 8th. Yeah, yeah. Because SNL announced this Saturday on Twitter that Elon Musk will host on May 8th.
It's something to look forward to, I'll tell you what. We'll be talking about it on what? That would be
possibly.
Monday, May 11th.
Yeah, possibly.
Monday, May 9th.
10th. It's all right.
9, 10, Monday, May 10th.
Break out your calendar. There you go. Give you a moment to think about that. But so if you are taking a moment and thinking about those retirement years, okay, it's 7:42 in the morning. That might not be top of mind. You might have other pressing matters to get to, but it does cross your mind from time to time, right? Particularly if those retirement years aren't too far away. Well, you need a plan because the uncertainty will continue, and you want to make sure that you are well positioned to make those retirement years every single thing you want them to be. It all starts with questions and, yes, answers as well. That's why you need to get in touch with Keith Weinman, Presidential Wealth Management, at his Loveland office. And Keith, how do we get a hold of you?
At 970-776-7500. It's real simple. It all starts with answers to those questions and just a general conversation. It's what I do. It's what we do. And we love it. And we can make a difference for you. And we're talking about quality of life for the rest of your life. 970-776-7500.
All right. Keith Weinman, Presidential Wealth Management, thanks so much. From what the Wall Street Journal called the dumbest tax in Greece. I mean, talk about cutting off your nose to spite your face. Well, the conversation continues on President Biden's punishing capital gains tax rate that will leave everyone, including the government, worse off. Details coming your way in just a few.
The Power Trip. Weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA. 13 days, 13 teams. Preps baseball training camp coverage presented by Journey Homes. Airs this afternoon at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
That's kind of interesting, and just a follow-up to our conversation yesterday to the plans in terms of raising the rate on capital gains, Wall Street Journal calling it the dumbest tax increase ever. But basically, it's punitive, as President Biden wants to raise that rate on capital gains so high that it's going to leave everyone worse off, including the government, in its quest for revenue. 752 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gail, from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Working from this piece by Lawrence Lindsay, now president and CEO of the Lindsay Group. He served as a Federal Reserve governor from 1991 to 97 and assistant to the president for economic policy from 2001 to 2002. We're going to get into the weeds just a bit here, but bear with me. He writes, the Biden administration last week proposed to increase the capital gains tax rate, as we've discussed, currently 20% for most assets held for at least a year, to a 39.6% for people making more than $1 million. Since capital gains are also subject to the 3.8% Medicare tax, new capital gains rate would be 43.4%. Well, what makes this unusual? Well, it's at the 43.4% is well above the rate that would actually generate the most revenue for the government. Congress's Joint Committee on Taxation, which does the official scoring and is no den of supply-siders, puts the revenue-maximizing rate at 20%. Now, Lindsay's calculations put it at about 10 points lower than that. What does this all mean? President Biden is willing to accept lower revenue as the price of higher tax rates. Says Mr. Lindsay, the implications for his administration's economic thinking are mind-boggling. Even the revenue maximizing rate is higher than would be optimal, he goes on to say. As tax rates actually rise, the activity being taxed declines. The loss to the private side of society increases at a geometric rate as rates rise. The government collects more revenue, but its gains actually slow as the taxed activity declines. The revenue maximizing rate is the point at which the government starts losing from higher taxes. Tax rates above the revenue maximizing rate are nothing more than punitive. The government is simply giving up revenue to punish the rich. Punishing the rich is distinct from redistribution. Higher taxes on the rich to finance spending or to transfer money to lower income people may be good for society's welfare. Economists express this idea in a social welfare function. This weights additional income received by different people, usually based on income. The same sum is considered to be less valuable if it goes to a high-income person than a lower-income one. The weights, obviously, are subjective, and different analysts will choose different weights. Still, economists can agree that the ideal is to make someone better off without making someone else worse off. The simple case is a voluntary exchange of goods for money in which the buyer values the purchase at least as much as the price, while the seller values the money at least as much as the item being sold. Economists, in case you're wondering, call this exchange Pareto Optimal. This after Vilfredo Pareto, the Italian economist who formally framed this concept. There is no choice in paying taxes, and usually the government is better off and the taxpayer is worse off. But above the revenue maximizing rate, even the government is worse off. This, by the way, is called Pareto Optimal. Pessimal. Now, to an economist, a Pareto pessimal choice is unwise by definition. There is no set of so-called weights one can devise to justify this proposal because there are no highly prized winners to offset the losses to low-weighted losers. Concept of social welfare maximization has been a cornerstone of economic thinking for at least the past century. Dates to Adam Smith in the 18th century, arguably to the 17th, when you had King Louis XIV's finance minister declaring, quote, "The perfection of taxation consists in so plucking the goose as to procure the greatest amount of feathers with the least possible amount of squawking." That concludes Mr. Lindsay, is why it's so shocking that this policy got past the economists and the administration, because apparently this administration now believes in taxation purely as a form of punishment and is even willing to sacrifice revenue to carry it out. Yeah, it is the dumbest tax increase ever. 757 now, 1310 KFKA.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA. Spring is in the air, and that means high school baseball will decorate Preps Radio on 1310 KFKA.
All right, Jeff Breidich out as Rockies GM in an announcement made by the team yesterday. So what next? Well, veteran Major League Baseball scout and KOA Rockies insider Ed Henderson weighs in when he joins us this morning at 8:05. 1310 KFKA, Greeley, Loveland, Longmont, closing in on 8 o'clock.